Live from Denver, in high definition, the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. 1-888-99-IDOBI. Facebook.com/EJC Show. EJC Show on Twitter. And now, Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
We're the best three friends that anybody can have.
City Jason and Chris Show. Here we are, 1-888-99-IDOBI, a Halloween edition of the show.
Ooh.
It's going to be spooky, everybody. Spooky edition of the show.
It's going to be spooktacular.
Chris is not wearing any pants. That's how spooky it is. How do you like that? A pants joke. You know, I'm kind of tired of people always having those pants jokes.
So you're tired of yourself.
Yeah. So-and-so's not wearing any pants, and that's supposed to be funny. Because, well, anyways, this is going to be a scary show. Chris, what's your deal over there? Are you having issues? Technical problems?
Yeah, I'm having some technical issues.
Technical issues actually here in general, which is a little spooky. Just a second ago, the overhead light turned off on its own. No joke, it did, and it was a little bit spooky. Also spooky, Jason is currently doing payroll for his day job on his phone while he's supposed to be on this show.
That's horrifying.
I know. Yikes. Very scary stuff. What's also scary is the mouse is malfunctioning.
Oh, my gosh.
This is scary.
Let me control it with my mind.
Straight up haunted show.
It really is a haunted show. Like, the mouse seriously just stopped working.
Oh, my God. And now we're stuck playing this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. It's, horrific.
Oh, that's better.
No one can hear it anymore, but it's still playing, and we are... the mouse
holy
is
shit.
Not working when we're live.
It's like a ship without a steering wheel.
Yeah. It's,
is that what you call a ship? Is that a steering wheel? A helm?
A wheel, I think. I think they just call it a wheel.
A wheel?
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, take the wheel. Yeah.
Or a car.
We're rudderless, I think, is the
we're
expression.
We're rudderless. Thank you.
Yeah.
Rudderless. That's right. Well, there we go. I got to get the backup mouse so we can get our guest on, which is actually a certified medium psychic. And she's going to join us on this spooky show.
I wonder if she's...
Medium well or medium rare?
Should we get her on?
Does she have something to do with this?
I don't know. Let's see. Our guest tonight is Miss Corby Mitlide. That's correct, right? Did I say your name correctly?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, great. And you are a certified psychic medium, a channel, and a certified professional tarot reader, and an inspirational teacher and speaker. Mm. I guess you've been doing this for quite some time. You're highly certified, and we can't think of a better guest to have on around the holiday Halloween season. So how are you?
Absolutely ready to rock and roll, ready to play.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your background here. What got you qualified, and what made you realize you had this gift?
Okay, you want what I call the 30-second elevator spiel.
Make it 25 seconds.
Okay. Read a book when I was 9 called The Witch Family, said, okay, cool, there's magic in the world. Where do I find it? 1973, when I was a senior in high school, yes, I'm that old, that was the year Live and Let Die came out. I was working part-time at Spencer Gifts. They had the James Bond double. Then you needed to have a deck. For 20 years, I read for friends. All of a sudden, in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training.
Really?
That's when I figured I had been handed my draft notice upstairs, and I started doing it part-time.
So you can...
9/11, I looked at my husband and said, I need to do this full-time. People need to know there's something else out there. He said, I believe in you. Go do it. Haven't looked back.
Really?
6 days a week, 45 weekends a year on the road.
Wow.
In books, on radio, and television, and I love it.
That's great. So now you're also, I guess, you are able to tell people what their past lives might have been. Is that correct?
Yes. Now, anyone who thinks that we all get this in one life, let me tell you, not happening.
Okay.
We've all had hundreds.
The reason
we don't remember them is so we don't spend our time watching old movies instead of living this life. However, sometimes people have challenges in their life they keep bumping up against, and a past life will key to them why and where.
Okay. Well, why don't we, are you able to maybe tell one of us what one of our past lives was?
I can if you can get the music off the background.
Oh, is that going over the ear? I'm sorry, that must be on your end. There we go.
Okay.
So if
here's
you can
how
stop
I do
playing
it.
That music.
Yeah, okay,
go ahead.
I need a phobia, an obsession, or a place you either love or hate that makes no sense. I've never been to Peru, I hate it. I've never been to China, I love it.
Okay.
That way I can zero in on a past life that would be useful for you to know this time.
Chris,
I can
give you
an
example
for somebody else if that will help you.
Chris, you want to do it?
I'll give it a swing. So I'm afraid of heights. I'm terrified of heights.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. An obsession. It's kind of mundane, but I guess I'm obsessed with sex. I don't know if would be adequate.
It's not a matter of adequate or not. It's a matter of what keys it. What keys it for me was the heights thing. I immediately saw you. If you can think about those winding mountain roads, and they had before they had the metal girders, it would generally be wooden posts and wire strung between it, the way they would have it over a scenic overlook. And what I'm seeing is you in a car, 1952-3,
wow,
something like that, and leaning too far over. This looks like you guys are in college. There are three or four of you. One of your buddies thinks he's being funny, screams there's a snake. You also didn't like snakes at that point. You jump, and you stumble and fall, and there were no safety nets there.
Yikes.
So I'm looking at something,
ouch,
you know, basically the kind of place you'd see Mount Rushmore, just falling right over, and that's a nasty way to die.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. No wonder I'm scared of heights. That's no good.
Do you remember that at all, Chris?
No, I don't.
Maybe it'll come back to you now that you've had your memory jogged a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. I've always been scared.
We don't necessarily remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, you want to try?
Sure.
All right.
So my
throw me one, Jason.
A phobia of mine is also I'm afraid of heights, terrified of heights.
Mm-hmm.
Obsession. I don't know if I'd say I'm obsessed with anything.
Okay.
And country. What was the third thing?
Possible country. A country you've always wanted to go to that has a hit, or one you hear about and just like, oh, please, no.
I always wanted to go to Czechoslovakia.
Back when it was Czechoslovakia.
Right.
So you want to go back in time or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or to what?
Sorry, no TARDIS here.
No.
Hmm.
What's in the shop?
Interestingly, there's something about the heights thing, but you're in a totally different place. Your turn of the century, 1895, 6, 7, and for some reason I'm seeing the Eiffel Tower.
Ooh.
So,
like I helped design
there,
it?
Pardon? Say again?
Did I help design it? Because I feel like I might have.
Don't know that you helped design it, but this was when it was relatively brand new. And there is a sense, the fear of heights is not because you fell. The fear of heights is because you watched someone fall and get impaled.
Ouch.
On some of the metal girders, and it was just, from that point on, you wouldn't go anywhere near any place you couldn't walk down from.
Now, it seems like most people have tragic past lives. Do you ever run across people who have a, you know, mundane life where they just go to work
9
to 5?
For one thing, I've only gotten two or three famous people in all of my looking. But when someone has a phobia, that is generally something that is a difficulty. An obsession could be someone who, if you're obsessed with Ireland, you may have had several lives there. That may be where one of your happiest lives were.
Mm-hmm.
very simple. I have someone who came into this life. They were very anti-Semitic. Born in a Jewish family. They didn't know why, but why? I just feel like I got on the wrong bus. Turned out that they were a World War One, not two, World War One pilot who had been introduced to some Jewish officers, wouldn't shake their hand. And, you know, it's not that he was a terrible person, but World War One, Jews were anathema in Germany. If you want to undo that, if you want to learn from it, yeah, you probably would come back into a Jewish family to have to look to see Jews are the same as everybody else, not what you thought of them in 1916.
That makes sense. So now you also, in
hold
addition,
on, Eddie, why don't you why don't you take a swing at this? Let's hear this.
Okay, so place. I can't say I really have any phobias that I can think of right now, at least. A place I want to visit is Japan. I've always wanted to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The thought of going to Jersey disgusts me.
Hey, I'm from Cherry Hill, exit 4. Watch it, fella.
Yeah, but I have no desire to go there, if I'm being honest.
Hey, you can be honest, just don't diss it.
Okay.
All right, so the obsession is Japan. Now, when I'm looking at this thing, I don't see you in Japan. What I do see you as is as an antiquities dealer. You specialized in, as they say, cutlery.
Antiquities dealers, and I'm selling cutlery.
Yes, as in swords.
Yes.
As in the big stuff. And the more you saw the gorgeous workmanship of katanas and wakizashis and how you literally could split hairs with Japanese swords. This was probably 1860s, 70s. Mm. Pretty much, I think that was right after it was reopened to Gaijin, to the Round Eyes. But it was, you would give fair dealings on anything else. You would pay anything to get Japanese swords. And there was at one point, seeing probably turn of the century, many, many years, when you're about to close the store, in comes a Japanese gentleman dressed Western, but simply puts down about $800, which of course then was a huge amount, and just points to one set of swords and says, "That was taken from my grandfather. I want those." And you realized that the only honorable thing to do would be to give them back, not take the money.
Wow. So I was a good person in this life.
You were.
Okay.
And to go to Japan now, my sense is not only would you feel welcomed, but there would be some places, especially around the historical districts, that you would feel a sense of ease. In that sense, it's what your soul has done to say, here's your reward this time. So I would say, find a way to get to Japan this time. Get your reward.
Okay. I'll go get some antiquities, perhaps, in Japan. Maybe there's
I don't know about that. It's tough to get them these days.
Okay.
But if you take a look, that those are ordinary lives. You weren't anybody famous.
Well,
there's detail and nuance. It's not just, I pulled it from a book.
I'm sure that I don't know exactly how this works for you, but are you sensing that any three of us could have possibly been someone famous at some point or another?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Oh.
I've had to deal with way too many women who say, "I must have been Anne Boleyn. I can't wear turtlenecks or anything around my neck." Oh, please.
I was going to say the same thing.
No, it's people want desperately to be famous. And unless it's going to do you some good, no, I'm not going to find out. The one that I did get was, I believe the woman's name was Jennifer Whalen. She wrote a book called I'm Spiritual, Damn It. And I did not know that she was writing a book at the time. But the past life I picked up for her was Nellie Bly. Nellie Bly was an investigative reporter around the turn of the 20th century. And I went through a whole session with her. Had never seen a picture of her. Afterwards, she sent her picture, saw a picture of Nellie Bly. They were twins. too many things about what I pulled had resonances in her life, and I'd never met her or heard of her before that time. So that's one example where,
well,
you're a famous person. They think that you should know about this.
Interesting. Well, I guess, you know, the odds of you being someone famous are very, very slim. But so that's very interesting stuff. So you also do tarot card reading. What is tarot card reading exactly?
Okay. Tarot cards are the deck, the 78 cards that you see in every bad movie, every castle episode that has anything to do with the occult, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It is where we get our normal deck. The standard 52 deck was developed out of tarot because both of them use the same suits. In tarot, you have swords, pentacles, cups, and wands. Corollary in a modern deck would be spades, diamonds, hearts, and clubs.
Okay.
That's why gypsies can read with a standard deck.
And now you're actually able to do a reading. You mentioned you might be able to do a reading for us, correct?
Yes.
Now,
so I can use two hands.
Okay. Now, does it have to be for an individual, or are you able to do one for this show in general, or how would you like to do it?
Well, there are all kinds of different things. Tarot card readings, you develop different spreads. And now, is this your particular show? Did you guys invent it?
Yes.
Yeah,
we've been doing this for a very long time. Yeah, we've all been a team doing this show for over 10 years.
Okay. So what I might pull for you guys is a variation on what I call the entrepreneur's spread.
Okay.
Which would be, all right, now, give me the three names of the dudes.
It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
Okay. Card for Ed, card for Jason, a card for Chris. Card for the energy around the show, where you do it, how you market it.
Yeah.
People who listen, competition, what you need to know, best possible outcome.
Okay.
Notice there's not going to be doom and gloom, yes or no, because that, frankly, doesn't help anybody.
Okay.
My job is to say, here are your opportunities and how to grab them. Here's the tough stuff, how to get through it or around it. Here is your toolbox. Go rock and roll.
Okay.
Any psychic who says to you, oh, I see family curse, run.
Well,
that's what I call the Madame Hoo-Ha's and the Swami Swalandas. There is nothing about a curse unless you believe it.
Right.
Now, looking at this, I've got Ed, Jason, and Chris.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. So is this whole thing going to be a failure?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Listen. All right. Interesting. Ed tends to, it's the Five of Pentacles. Ed dances on quicksand with ideas. Not sure it's going to work. He wants to look at all of the ramifications. He may be a little bit of your pessimist if you're looking at something else. Jason in the middle, the Hermit card. Don't ever lie to Jason. He'll pin you on it. All he wants is the truth. No bullshit.
Thank you.
Chris, Prince of Wands, you're the creative one, but you have the attention like Doug from Up. Remember the dog squirrel?
Yeah.
So it's a good combination. You know, it's not quite Pet Boys, Manny, Mill, and Jack, but you all have very different skills, and you weigh on each other to keep the scale balanced. The energy around the show itself, King of Swords. King of Swords is the man who makes money with his mind. It's a lawyer, a doctor, an architect. So what that's telling me is it's not a fluffy show. As funny as you are, as much as you try to, you know, razz the guests, if there's no interest, there's no mental capacity in the guests, you could care less. You'd find a way to get them off the air. You want people to think even while they're laughing. Okay. Energy around the building where you're doing
that's
it.
That's pretty accurate.
Online.
That's pretty accurate, don't you think?
Yeah, this is
See, we're interested in you, so we're keeping you on, but yeah. I think usually if we have guests on we don't like, we do try to get them off quickly, but you're interesting. Uh-huh.
You're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. So
and the description of the, you know, the card for each of the three of us seemed about, yeah,
I do,
it was pretty
I do
spot
tend to
on.
Dance on quicksand quite often. But what's the next one? The building we do the show in?
Now, this is generally for the brick-and-mortar location. If you guys are doing it in a location, fine. If this is on the internet. But the card is the judgment card. Paradigm shift, call to new life, sea change. So the physicality of how you do the show is probably going to change.
It is. That's funny you say that. It's going to be changing next month.
Oh, cool. And I have never listened to you guys before. Sorry about that.
Well, we haven't even announced that we're doing that. That's fun.
Just, boom. All right. Now, how to market what you do. It's the world card. When I see the world card, the way I describe it is if it comes up for somebody, I tell them, anybody says to you, you can't do that, you're supposed to grin widely and say, oh, yeah, eat my dust and watch me. And that's how you do the show. Busting boundaries. Don't tell us we can't.
Right.
You know, PhD in smart attitude, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you're right on.
The people who listen to you, interesting. It's the high priestess card. These are people who know what they know but don't necessarily share it until they're good and ready. These are people who want to, who won't waste time on the, forgive me, Rush Limbaugh's of the world, but are going to listen to something of value. Your competition, the hanged man, short-term sacrifice for long-term gain. They'll have a talking donkey on if they think it's going to raise their ratings. Not going to work.
Yeah.
What you need to know.
We tried that.
Now, the devil card comes up, but this is neither Mr. Horns in the Tail nor Jack Nicholson. What the devil card is bedeviled by something, someone, or some situation. So just realize that the move may have its share of bumps, but don't ignore it. Don't not do it. Just look at the problem and say, yeah, thank you for sharing. You can get out of here now.
Uh-huh.
Eight of Pentacles. Eight of Pentacles talks about refining down. Shows a guy pouring liquid molten gold into a mold, and even though the gold itself is valuable, if it doesn't fit in the mold, it runs out. So the only thing that I would tell you is, I'm hearing the words, tighten the mold, be even more picky about who you bring on, have the really sharpest tacks in the room,
yes,
and really push the envelope about what they can do and what they can tell your audience. That's going to keep you rolling.
Well, cool. Well, thank you.
It's a AAA reading, I think.
Yeah, I think that you were very accurate there, and you had some good insights overall. Corby Metlide, the guest, and how can people find out more about you and get in contact with you, all that good stuff?
Oh, well, that's very easy. I've got a website that is very chewy. It's got hundreds of articles and lots of good stuff on there. It's firethroughspirit.com, and that's through spelled T-H-R-O-U-C-H.
All right. Well,
that's been around since 2000, so it's a well-used.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you being on the show and giving us the readings. Those interesting stuff. Everybody go check out that website. We appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll have to have you back on again sometime.
Fine with me.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. There we go. That was just a little creepy, right?
Yeah. It was, yeah. It's like she looked into our souls.
Do you think I was a Frenchman? Or was that the... was I? Eiffel Tower?
You must have been a Frenchman.
I was a Frenchman. Oh,
you know,
oui, oui.
You know what's funny is it made me think that Jason, a long time ago, Jason and I, 10 years ago, took a road trip to Seattle, and he would not go up to the top of the Space Needle with me.
Ooh. Yeah, I was terrified.
Yeah.
I don't do heights, but you did it.
Yeah.
And you're terrified of heights.
Yeah.
Maybe the Space Needle was too similar to
exactly.
Eiffel
That's
Tower.
What I'm thinking.
Or it was just high.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you're afraid of
and
heights.
And I'm afraid of heights.
Maybe.
I want to be...
Know, I really like that tarot reading, but I got to say, like, I feel like your guys' past lives are a little bit cooler than mine. Like, you saw a guy get impaled on the Eiffel Tower.
You
pretty
just fell
awesome.
Off a cliff.
Yeah, I like somebody told me there was a snake and I dove off of a cliff.
You're going
like a jackass.
And I was an antiquities dealer selling cutlery.
I was going to ask her if that's why you're obsessed with IKEA.
Why didn't you ask her? It reminds me of the antiquities I used to sell back in Japan.
IKEA?
Yes. Well, it is our Halloween edition of the show, Eddie, Jason, Chris. We are going to have somebody else on here in a little bit.
Agent Mulder?
Yes.
This person specializes in curses and hexes. And,
yeah.
She just said, our previous guest, that, you know, you shouldn't buy into that sort of stuff. But, you know, we'll let this next guest make her case.
Yeah. The next guest coming up here a little bit is going to be Shay Parker talking about curses and hexes. But we're going to take a little break from this Halloween stuff. And New Beat Fund is going to call in and check in with us real quick, too. But that's coming up here in just a second. It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. Happy Halloween!
Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show live on Adobe Radio, 1-888-99-IDOBE. That's the phone number, and we now go to the phone to check in with Button from one of our favorite bands of all time that we put on the map, New Beat Fund.
Damn, that's so nice of you. Yes, it's Button here from New Beat Fund.
Yes.
Just chilling pre-show here.
And you're actually in Denver. That's where we do the show. But we're a few miles away, and we can't make it because we're working. So we still wanted to get you on the show a little bit and say what's up.
Well, thank you for having me. Denver is lovely. We've spent the day here, and we always love coming to Denver. We've been here a few times at least, and we're happy to be here again. It should be a dope night tonight.
What venue are you guys at?
We're at the Marquee. And we're playing with Mod. Mod Sun is headlining, and we're doing our diligence, helping support him. So,
Yes,
Marquee's a good venue.
It's a great venue. This is the third show of this tour. We're on the Pink Lemonade tour right now, and things are going really well. We're off to a great start, and we're stoked to be in Denver.
Now, have you ever had Pink Lemonade while on the road ever? At any point?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think I have.
You have?
Also, I've had a pink lemonade, like weed pink lemonade, too.
Is that so? Is that there. What you did in Denver today? You hit up all the dispensaries?
No, we didn't get to go, but we are going to get some goodies before we continue on, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Denver, you and your wacky tobacco.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been stopped, like crossing the state line from Colorado into another state? Have you ever been stopped and searched?
Yeah, we've actually been arrested in Nebraska.
Those fucking cunts.
Now, what did they do? What happened? What happened?
Well, it was like a trap, you know? There was like all these signs for like drug check. We're trucking along. This is early on in our days. And, back when we were not as smart, maybe. But Bernie and I were blazing some joints in the back seat just on the, what is that, the 80 or the
I-70?
I-80 or I-70?
I-70.
Yeah. And then we started seeing these signs that said, like, drug checkpoint ahead. Huh. And then there was, like, more and more of them. We started freaking out. We're like, what? Like, oh, my God. Like, Silky was driving and he started freaking out, and like the whole car is like boxed. Anyways, we we pull off, which was a giant mistake. So we pull off the road, you know, to avoid it. That was the trap, by the way. So all you radio listeners out there, please never pull off the road when they talk about or when you see signs for a drug.
But yeah, why?
Just go
so you
straight
guys,
through it.
You guys just pulled over, and you're like, we might as well stop here, talk to these nice officers.
Yeah, so we pull over. We didn't see any officers.
Oh.
And we pull over into some cornfields, and literally, it was like a scene out of a movie, and it was like there was 20 cop cars. There was like 5 drug dog trucks.
Holy shit.
Like, Jesus.
This was like insane. This was, and we had a trailer with us that didn't have like, didn't have license plates. Like, this is like a drug trafficking interstate, and this is like a whole unit dedicated to like trying to, you know, get the big bus pretty much. So
I have like helicopters swooping down on you, like a sniper shoot at your radiator or something.
It was just, we stopped and we got like fully searched, and the troopers were just kind of assholes to us, and then we were just like the hippie kids from California, you know.
Well, that sounds frightening. I mean, I'm glad that everything worked out. You obviously are not in prison right now, so you guys must have Did you finish your community service hours?
Silky went to jail.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, a friend had gave him, and he didn't. He forgot about it. But there was psilocybin in his bag,
ooh,
which the laymen call it mushrooms. But apparently that's a felony in Nebraska. So also note uh-uh. that.
Fucking Christ.
Oh, man.
Anyways, we were in the newspaper.
Well, congratulations. You got some press out of it, at least, and maybe you got a few more fans listening to your music.
Now, yeah.
Now you got street cred. You're like fucking Johnny Cash now. Johnny Cash waited his whole life to go to prison.
All famous musicians all have great mugshots. So,
that is true. So you now know. You're well on your way. See, we're watching your careers yeah. blossom right before our eyes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think they were the, sure. our first Reverb
yeah.
Nation Artists of the Month.
That's right.
I think so. We were doing, we still have that thing with Reverb Nation, but we selected you guys before you were signed to Red Bull Records, I believe, back in the day.
Yeah, you guys were like the first to find us and love us. It was awesome.
It was, and so we want to, we take credit for every ounce of success you have. It has nothing to do with your hard work, ethic, or anything like that. It's just because of us. We pushed you a little bit in the right direction.
We're
proud of you guys, for real. That's cool. That's awesome. You guys are talented, and everybody's digging what you're doing. I'm glad that everybody is you know, on the same train. And
We appreciate your support throughout. You guys have always been there for us. I feel like we've done so many great interviews with you, and you've plugged or played our music a bunch, so we appreciate that.
Yeah,
I guess we sort of dropped the ball on springing you from jail, coming through with the bail. Sorry about that.
What were we?
Oh no, it's okay.
You know, I don't know what I was thinking. We should have just done our show from the marquee tonight and hung out with you guys there and had you guys co-host. What the hell was I thinking? I totally dropped the ball.
That'd have been the way.
God damn, that was a missed opportunity.
Mm. Mm.
Well. We will be back here, guys. We will for sure. So maybe next time.
Well, okay. Next time we'll make that happen. But for now, you guys are on tour with Mod Sun, and he's a really cool dude. Really good music as well. It's a little bit of a... Mm-hmm. I guess you guys were both on Warped earlier this year, weren't you? So was it this
yep.
year that you're both on? Yeah, so it's a little bit of a Warped spinoff tour. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, a little bit. The two there's two guys opening that are not anywhere Warped, but
okay.
us and Mod, we were like the hippie section of Warped Tour, you know?
Well, who else is opening?
This guy, Benny Freestyles, is opening, and then this group called All Day, they're from Australia, they're second, and then us, and then Mod.
So Maxim Magazine said that New Beat Fund makes us want to grab a beer and a blonde and kick back in the sand. So,
and for Maxim Magazine to say that, you must have really inspired them.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like them
at
all.
That was a good moment being in Maxim. I mean, I think it was my taco shirt that got us in personally, but, you know, flattering.
What's the
crazy? Who doesn't like a beer and a blonde babe? You know?
Of course. Just reading that quote made me want to do the same. So since we started talking to you guys like maybe 2 years ago, what's been the most mind blowing moment that you guys that you've had so far over these past couple of years?
Huh. Well, many, many victories, some small, some large. I think just some of the bands we've toured with have been spectacular. We've opened for Blink 182. I mean, those all like probably about 10 times, like kind of all over the country.
Nice.
And those shows were insane. We got to do a 9/11 show like in Brooklyn and with Blink, and it was like their smallest show in like 15 years. It was like 500 people. That was like crazy.
That's mind blowing. That's cool.
But also like arenas. We toured with Pepper. And that whole tour was really great. Notably, Santa Ana at the Observatory, the last show on the Pepper Tour, was just a really great moment for us. Recently, we headlined the Troubadour, which was freaking awesome.
Legendary.
We got to play for like an hour and a half, and it was our show and just all our fans, and it was so cool. But also, we've had like other than like live shows, you know, like, really cool radio looks, and I think above all, just like our fans are just insane. They're awesome.
And you guys keep getting more and more fans everywhere you go. Your set at South by Southwest earlier this year is really good, by the way. You guys killed it there. That was a lot of fun. Are you guys going to do it again in March?
I'm sure we will.
Well, cool. Well, if we don't see you before then, I'm sure we'll see you there. It's always great to catch up with you guys. New Beat Fund on tour with Mod Sun right now. All the tour dates, of course, on the Facebook page and all that good stuff. Well, you guys have fun here in town. Again, sorry we couldn't come out and hang out in person. Really wish we could. If it was on any other night, we'd be there for sure. But we're stuck here working for the man. So what can you do?
It's all good. We miss you guys. And we hope you have a great night. We're going to have a spectacular night here at the Marquee.
Well, please do. And we'll catch up with you soon, man. All right. Anything you wanted to plug real quick before we let you go? Anything besides the tour? Anything big coming up?
Maybe just our you can find our tour dates and tickets on newbeatfund.com, you know, Twitter, Instagram, at newbeatfund, and just say hi to us. Come to a show and say hi. Let's hang.
Hey, you guys drive safe beyond our borders, all right?
All right, we will. Thank you very much for having us.
Cool, thanks, man. Anytime.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. All right, let's play Sunday Fun Day from New Beat Fund. Here you go.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris, EJCShow.com.
It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris show here live on Adobe Radio. Yes, and we are continuing our little themed show, if you will, a little Halloween themed show. We had a wonderful psychic medium on just a little bit ago, but now we have Shay Parker on the show, and she is the founder of Best American Psychics, and that is a directory of where you can find the Best American Psychics and more. And she's joining us to talk about curses and spells. Hello, how are you, Shay?
Hey, I am quite well. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, welcome to the show. And you also have your own radio show, so you are a fellow personality.
I know. I'm one of the crazies. So, yeah, I do have my own show, and I love it. And, yeah, so
where does your rock show, and roll. Do you want to plug your show real quick before we get into this?
Yeah. I'm actually on internet radio, w4wn.com, and the show is just simply called Best of the Best, and we archive every week on iHeartRadio.
So who is the worst guest you've ever had?
You know, I can't even remember his name, but he was one of these gurus, and his name, I swear to you, was like 30 words long, and I mean, he talked incessantly the entire time, and nobody could even understand him.
Well, try not to do that.
And if you can get it, if you have contact for him, let us know.
I will.
Yeah, sounds great. Maybe we can book him next week.
Yeah.
Really sold it. So curses and spells, you know, it's that time of year everybody's talking about curses, spells, hexes.
Everybody's witchcraft. Talking about it.
Everybody. And, you know, what do you know about this? What makes you qualified or what makes you interested in this? What got you interested and all that good stuff? What made you go down this path?
What's the skinny? Yeah, well, the Cliff Notes version is I'm a very analytical left brain, actually a skeptic. I am not a psychic. I do not claim to have one psychic bone in my body.
Oh.
However, I moved to the lovely mountains of Asheville, North Carolina in a 100-year-old cabin. And listen, I was in finance. I was in mortgages. I mean, my logic was every single day going to work, adding numbers, you know, closing deals. I was good to go. But this crazy cabin, I mean, things started happening in the cabin that were absolutely no way possible they could be explained.
Give us an example. Craziest thing?
Voices, you know, lights turning off and on time.
Was the television on in the other room? Could that have explained the voices?
Well, trust me. I tried every daggone thing I could to explain the voices. I thought, well, maybe I'm getting radio waves from somewhere. Maybe I'm, you know, but I lived alone in this cabin. And I was on a lot of acreage, so there was no way that... And, I mean, I'm telling you guys, it was, like, in the room with me to the point where my three dogs went nuts barking.
Did they at least say anything helpful? Like, don't forget the eggs and the...
No, I couldn't understand a thing. It sounded like Charlie Brown's parents. That's what it sounded like. It was like that wah, 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 wah. But it was very audible. Just nothing that I could make out. But my dogs would tear through the house looking for an intruder. And this happened, I mean, repeatedly. And then stuff would, like, be moved around. I mean, lights would turn. And I could explain the lights because I'm like, look, I'm in a 100-year-old cabin. Who cares? The lights flick off and on. But, you know, then it got to the point where whatever it was started making physical contact. And at that point, I was done.
Contact? What do you mean? Like, you got
shoved? Nothing creepy or weird, but just...
Yeah, well, what,
like,
what
they
was
would
it?
It would touch my shoulder a lot, like tap me on the shoulder and stuff, and... Which, again, I tried to think, okay, maybe you go through this whole thing, like maybe I'm imagining it, maybe I'm this, maybe I'm that, but it got to the point where my dogs were so freaked out every single day. I mean, they'd wake me up in the middle of the night, like tearing through the cabin, chasing this whatever they thought was in the house, and I mean, I had to get up and go to work, you know? I was like, I need to sleep, so... Yeah. Long story short, I kind of I didn't want to tell anybody. I mean, I was thinking people are going to think I'm crazy. I am not telling a soul this, but I had to kind of on the down low, like, do my own research and figure out how in the world to get rid of this. And you know, you really do. It sounds ridiculous, but you go through this. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Like, I seriously didn't know what to do. So I went ahead, and at that point, I was. You know, that was during the whole mortgage crash, and I was in mortgages, and I needed to find a different avenue. So I had taken web design. I was a college graduate in that. So I thought, well, I'll put together this website, not thinking it would ever go anywhere. I thought, I'll put together a website where people that are in my predicament can go to find a legitimate person that can help them.
Is it like a Yelp for psychics?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. We're like the Better Business Bureau of psychic directories.
Now, how do you even quantify something like that or you know, rate?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like,
I know, man. It's been a totally freaky process. I mean, the past like 6.5 years, we've actually put together we can quantify by, we have a list of tests. What we do is we test these. Everybody that comes onto the site, they have to go through 2 separate telephone psychic readings, and they're completely blind readings. They only get a first name of someone. They do not get a telephone number. They do not get an area code. They do not get a location. They get nothing. They get, John will be calling you at 3 p.m. Eastern, period.
Have you had really wild stuff happen when, say, John calls at 3 p.m. Eastern? Does the psychic say some stuff that they would, you know, some crazy stuff or what?
Yeah, you know, most of the time, we turn down 8 out of 10 people, so most of the time, they're just not impressive enough. But what we're looking for is evidential information. So, for instance, if you had a grandmother named, you know, Vanessa, and she cooked you when you were 3 or 10 years old, she bought you a pet piglet. You know, I don't know. I'm just coming up with something so ridiculous that there's no way anyone could know, especially not a perfect stranger across the, you know, world, country. So, you know, we're looking for absolute evidential information in order for them to be able to pass the tests that they're given. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you wanted to talk about, I guess, curses and spells, which I guess kind of all aligns with this in a way. I guess we're talking about the metaphysical world, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, to transition into that a little bit, what got you interested in that specifically? Because that's, you don't necessarily have to have psychic powers to cast a spell on somebody, right?
No, not at all. This isn't like a focused area I talk about this every day, but being as if it's Halloween and it's, you know, there people, we do get the questions. We get a lot of questions through our website, and this seems to be one of the more popular ones. Okay. Can somebody put a curse on me? Can I be hexed? And, you know, guys,
let's answer the question.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, and I'm sure people have that question. Let's answer it. Can that happen?
Yeah. Well, you know, the short version is yes, but the long version is you can control it. Okay, now let me break this down for you. Words hold power. Any word out there holds power because we're all beings of energy, right? So basically, there was this really cool study done a while back by this scientist, and what he did is he took 2 glass jars and he filled both of them with cooked rice, and he put water in them and he sealed them. Well, in one, he put a positive affirmation, like, you're beautiful, and he taped it on there. On the second one, he put, you're ugly. Well, he had students walk past these jars for 30 days, okay? And each student had to read to the jar what was written on the jar. So, interestingly enough, the jar that had the positive affirmation, you are beautiful, that jar was basically untouched. It was barely changed. And the other one that said you are ugly ended up, after 30 days, moldy and rotten and like brown and nasty.
Right.
So,
I think I'm familiar,
know,
with that study. That's a little bit of a creepy one. So,
yeah, totally. The short answer is, do words hold power? Absolutely they do, and it's been proven under by scientists all over the world with MRIs and such that, you know, no is actually the most powerful word. It immediately...
No, it's not.
Yeah, it says, theoretically, what they've stated is basically the word no produces fight or flight.
Yeah.
The word yes, alternately, doesn't really do anything to your brain because it's not a threat.
So is yes just a word that just is kind of meaningless? Maybe there's a word we should be using instead of yes.
Well, you know, I think it's less the word and it's more the intention behind. Like, in other words, is it negative or is it positive? That's kind of where it's going.
Well, wouldn't yes be the positive to the no negative?
Yeah, it certainly would. But the brain perceives yes or a positive as a complacency. It doesn't. There's no threat perceived, so there's no psychological reaction to, you know, that is produced by negative words.
No knee-jerk reaction, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So when you apply this to spells and curses, if somebody out there believes that they are cursed, then what's the most logical thing that the human mind is going to do? You know, it's going to release all the stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters that say, you know, fight, flight, fight, flight, fight, flight. And it's these things have been proven under a microscope to disrupt your sleep, your appetite, your decision-making ability, blah, blah, blah. Hence, bad luck. You know, so that's really kind of what it boils down to. And again, this is the very simplified.
Well, no, yeah, that is interesting because I guess I have noticed that people who believe that their lives are cursed, they end up finding themselves in bad situations because they make dumb decisions.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of explains it. But what about on the opposite end? Say you want to have good things happen to you. Then what do you do then?
Great question. What you can do is, again, scientifically they've proven that it takes three times.
Why okay, three?
Three times the one, amount of
one
positive.
One on the no, but three on the positive.
Yeah, doesn't that? I mean, come on. You know, it's like it kind of bites. Reality bites. But so if you're one of these people that is prone to constant, you know, doom and gloom, and you're the Eeyore, woe is me. Well, you've got to kind of get out there, and you know, for every negative thought you think, they say you've got to think three to five positive thoughts.
That's too much work. That's too much work.
I know, and that's why everyone's walking around miserable.
Why does it have to be so hard?
I don't know, man.
Can you answer that?
I wish I could, but you know I'm not a psychic, so who knows?
Or is there a cheat code, perhaps? Maybe you say a certain combination of words and then...
Oh, God. I honestly think it's... What do they say? The power of positivity. And listen, we all... I mean, who doesn't go out and have a flat tire and step in the big rain puddle and all that? And it's hard. I mean, it's hard for all of us. But you know, I think ultimately, if you just try to keep a positive outlook on things. And here's the other key. Do positive things for other people. And you don't have to go out and, you know, feed the homeless necessarily, although that's great. But walk through the streets and smile at someone. It could be something as simple as that. And then guess what? People will smile. Well, some people will look at you like you're crazy. But hopefully you will trigger a positive reaction back to you. So that's one less positive thought that you've got to think because it's being mirrored back to you. So...
Fascinating stuff. Yes.
I have a quick question.
Quick question from the audience.
Yes. Do you still live in that cabin that was haunted?
No way, man. I got out of there. Actually, I loved that cabin, but it was so small, I couldn't turn around. But no, I still do live in Asheville, and I drive by the cabin, but I do not still live in it.
Do you know if anyone occupies it currently?
I don't know. Last time I was there, gosh, it was probably about 7 months ago, and it looked pretty abandoned, so I really don't know.
Have you ever thought about bringing someone out to go through the cabin to see if they can sense any spirits there?
Well, actually, that was what I ended up doing, and I didn't even get a chance to get into that because I know we're pressed for time, but that's how I really got into the whole mediumship thing was I did hire somebody locally who was a medium, and she went right to it, and she said that someone had actually fallen in the shower, and it was totally an accident, but she hit her head, and she passed in the bathroom. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. Very interesting stuff. What I've learned is that being positive is a lot of work, and I'll just continue doing the things that will harm me because it's easier. It's just easier.
You're lazy.
Why should life be hard?
Don't be lazy.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll send you good vibes. There you go.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Thanks for coming on the show. Best American Psychics. Everybody Google that and then check out that. And then again, your radio show is available on iHeartRadio Archived. How can people find that?
Yep, just go to iHeartRadio.com and type in Best of the Best in the search bar.
Best of the Best. Okay. Yep. Shay Parker, we appreciate you coming on the show. Great to have you on. Happy Halloween. And we wish the best to you. We're going to send good vibes back.
All right. Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
There we go. All right. So Ongid says, have that lady stop yelling. She's hurting my ears.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm going to just... That's
already with the negative vibes?
I know, already? Come on, man. Now it's going to take three positive comments to undo that negative one you just did.
Weren't they even listening?
I don't know. I
guess they couldn't hear. They were being, deafened.
I know. Like, why would you, Angid, after she just said, for every three positives, it's one negative.
Are
or
you
one
sure
negative,
you're
three positive?
Are you sure your computer's even plugged in?
Are we sure we're even alive?
Maybe.
We don't know.
Maybe we're the voice of ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody.
No, we're
just people here.
It's the internet. It's not magic. It's
it's kind of magic, but
yeah,
Al Gore type magic. But Sandy, Jason, and Chris show 1-888-99 Adobe. How's payroll going?
It's good.
The whole show, Jay's been working on payroll. For
no, I haven't.
Oh,
I was goofing around on Twitter too.
What are the tweets saying?
Nothing.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris on Facebook. Facebook.com/EJC Show.
We are on Facebook like everybody else. Facebook.com/EJC Show. You can check out our Facebook page. There's some funny audio here. I guess we can play real quick before we get to Chris's news. Everyone's favorite segment of the show. Brought to you tonight by Nabisco. Not really. But somebody should sponsor your news, I think.
Yeah. Like CBS.
Yes, Chris's news brought to you by the NBC Nightly News. With
where real news comes first.
Yeah. Lester Holt.
He's going to take notes.
So The Price is Right with Drew Carey. You guys watch that?
No.
Every day.
Who's home to watch Price is Right?
Nobody. So here's what happened on that. I guess a model fell down while she was...
she okay?
I don't know. You want to hear her fall down at least? We don't know if she's okay. Well, we don't know if she's alive or dead, but she
see, this
fall
is
down.
A negative thing that Shay was talking
what
about.
What do you mean? I don't know if... I'm just saying, this is very neutral. I don't know if she's alive or dead.
But you're really going to play dance, it because it's funny.
You're dancing on quicksand.
Yeah. Yeah,
the showcase is over for that. They have her right... Whoop.
Jeez.
Did I do that?
We're going to fix that light bulb. We'll be right back, folks.
What?
What did
she just quote Urkel? Yes. She fell over, broke a light bulb, and said, oops, did I do that?
We got the showcase in order for that. We have her right. Whoop.
Jeez.
Did I do that?
This whole thing sounds so staged with the music and the audience and everything, doesn't it? It's funny.
Sounds like an episode of The Price is Right.
That was a laugh track. That wasn't the audience.
The producers probably inserted the laugh track afterwards to make it. I bet in real life they were like, oh,
what, for a broken light bulb?
Yeah, but I bet they weren't
this
laughing.
Is why, really? You would be like that when you, oh my God, light bulb down.
No, is the light bulb okay?
Get the glue.
That must have been expensive.
Oh, $3.52.
Speaking of game shows, Alex Trebek enjoyed this one on The Price is on Jeopardy, rather Jeopardy. Alex Trebek is the host of Jeopardy, and somebody made fun of liberals.
Two players left dealing with flowers, and this clue for you. Take a look. The flower pictured here is called this, also a disparaging term for people on the political left.
I got it.
Becky, we're going to start with you and I.
What do you think Becky has to say, Chris?
I don't know what Becky has to say, but I'm betting the answer is pansies.
I have a feeling that you may have found a way to insult liberals in this country. Let's take a look at your response. What is a pansy?
Yep. There you go, Chris.
Wow, you should be on the Jeopardy. The Jeopardy.
But was she, do you think she was right?
Yes, she but I guess it? Not.
Let's get Chris on Jeopardy.
We should. Let's see if she was right.
You found a way to insult liberals in this country, and you are incorrect. So you're not doing yourself any good financially.
Lilies.
You're going to wind up in second place. You lost all of your money. Over to Sean.
She lost all of her
money. Is it Lilies?
Hello?
Are we going to find out?
Stephanie's on Skype.
Are we going to find out if it was Lily's?
You want to know what the answer was?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Stephanie.
Hello?
Yeah, Stephanie, hang on a second.
Stephanie, hold on.
Hang on.
Yeah. Sorry, Anderson now who could not be.
What? Hang on, you're talking over Alex Trebek.
Don't do that.
Just a second. Just
don't
just
disrespect the Beck.
just a quick second, okay?
Formerly known as Stash.
Anderson now who could not be caught. He was at 15,600, and he wrote down the correct response. What is a bleeding heart? Although I do like pansies.
Okay, Stephanie on Skype, EJC show on Skype.
Oh, that's a flower?
Right? A bleeding heart. But I think both should be correct, right? Anyways, Stephanie, go ahead.
What is it? Hi.
How are you?
Good, how about yourself?
Great.
I'm tired of listening to Eddie's right-wing bullshit, but otherwise I'm fine.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, but more importantly, Stephanie, are you enjoying the show tonight?
Yeah, I was listening to it earlier, but I had a meeting at 6. I don't know what's going on. Like, I just got out.
What did you catch? What did you hear so far?
When is she a psychic? The one that was telling you guys about your past lives?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, her and then Button from Newbie Pond, and, like, that was basically it.
So,
I had to leave right before you guys played the song, so I was pretty bummed. But it's okay, because I have it on my phone, so.
Would you like to buy any antiquities? I sell cutlery.
No.
From IKEA.
You don't. Not anymore.
I used to. Well, apparently.
I'm a Frenchie.
Apparently.
I go to Japan, though, and I have a reward waiting for me, so looking forward to that.
Or you're going
to
get killed.
If Jason goes to France, he's going to get his karma for pushing somebody off the Eiffel Tower. Mm.
Stephanie, do you tell all your friends about the show? We just want to make sure that's still happening.
I'm always like, hey, I'm listening to this. I've been really, really busy, so I haven't been able to listen in as often as I should have or want to.
What makes you so busy? You think you have a life or something?
Yeah.
That's why we podcast.
I have like a lot of schoolwork. I'm in college right now, so it's just like, it's a lot going on. And
wait, Stephanie. I'm sensing that you are in a state where it's hot, desert-like. I'm going to say you live in Arizona.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. You guys already know this.
Jason's a psychic medium.
And you attend a university, Arizona State?
Oh, gosh. That's the worst thing you could say.
No. Arizona, no. You're...
U of A.
The connection's
university
breaking
up. Arizona.
The University of
the
Phoenix.
The Wildcat.
Oh.
So you're in Tucson, then?
I'm in Tucson.
I was close.
I was going to say University of Phoenix.
You just stole my joke. I just said
gross.
That.
Well, no one heard it. Nobody was paying attention, I guess.
Oh, my Lord. What a joke stealer. Okay, so...
One time.
Stephanie...
You're supposed to be the creative mind over there.
So how can we...
Guess I wasn't paying attention.
How can we get you to spread the word and let everybody know about EJC? Is there something we can do to help you do that? How can we help you?
I don't know.
Do you guys have, like, promo stuff, like stickers and stuff like that?
Yeah, if we sent you that stuff, would you pass it out? What would your game plan be?
I would totally... Huh?
What would you do? What would your game plan be, and what would you like your prize to be? Two questions.
Okay, game plan. Like, pass that stuff around campus and just let everyone know what it is about and, like, how funny you guys are and whatnot. Post about it, I guess, on social media because that's, like, the thing now. Has been for a couple of years.
Weird.
I heard that's dying.
I don't know. I mean, because I'm within U of A, I'm in the Wildcat Event Sports. So I would, like, put up events and stuff, and I'm having a comedian come in, Chris D'Elia. Have you guys heard of him?
Chris D'Elia, yeah, he's really
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, he's coming to U of A on the 7th. So
oh,
that's
how
cool.
Cute. How cute.
Yes, I get to meet him, so it's pretty chill.
Okay.
So it's, like, a lot of, like, street marketing, I guess, is what I would do with your guys' stuff and, like, what I do with the organization that I'm in.
Okay, so that sounds good. So what would you like in return?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, I just like promoting people and whatnot, so.
Okay. Well, we could, like, send you little prizes here and there.
Okay. I mean, I know that's what Newbie Fun does with their, the G-Punks.
Yeah.
Because I'm in that, too.
Okay.
So.
Well, we can make you an official EJC VIP.
Oh, a VIP? Okay.
Yeah. And then we'll send you some promo items and stuff.
That's cool.
Well, we'll talk about that more, but do you want to help out with the news? It's time for Chris's news.
How would I help out?
You just offer your just delightful color commentary.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try.
Okay, here we go.
A biscuit cracker that survived the sinking of the Titanic has sold for $22,968 at an auction in England.
That's it.
And has been called, quote, the most valuable biscuit in the world. The plane cracker fetched $7,656 more than was expected. It was bought by a collector in Greece.
That's why Greece is bankrupt.
The auctioneer said, it is the world's most valuable biscuit.
How did it survive? It's underwater.
It's a cracker.
How did that survive?
Yeah, we don't know which lifeboat the biscuit came from.
I'm pretty sure Ziploc bags weren't a thing back then.
There are no other Titanic lifeboat biscuits in existence, to my knowledge. End quote.
Well, yeah, that's a valid question, though. How did this thing survive? I think
it was on a lifeboat.
Right here. The biscuit was part of a survival kit that was stored within one of the ill-fated ocean liner's lifeboats.
Well, then it wasn't really on the Titanic, was it? It was one of those damn lifeboats.
Were on the fucking Titanic, weren't they?
He's got a point.
But I'm saying it's not like what the guests were enjoying.
Eating.
It was there for them to survive on.
There was a cracker on the Titanic. That was the claim. A passenger on board a ship
cracker.
That aided survivors kept it as a, quote, souvenir. The auction also featured a photo of the iceberg that is believed to have sunk the cruise liner. It was sold for $32,156.
Who took a photo of it?
I don't know.
Didn't they, like, back then you'd have to, like, sit still for a while, right, to get the photo?
Well, it was a big-ass liner. It probably took them 80 minutes to try and turn that bitch. They probably all knew they were going to die for some time.
Mm. And the biscuit didn't go bad. Like, get moldy.
That's weird. Yeah, no, because it's in water. Wouldn't it get moldy? Unless it was, like, completely, like, airtight sealed or something.
Right. It was in a first aid kit, survival kit on a boat, so it never hit the water.
Hopefully the Greek dude doesn't eat the cracker.
I would totally eat the cracker.
Well, you know, yeah, if I were that rich, I would spend $22,000 just to eat that cracker.
Just to eat, like, a corner of it to see how stale it was.
I would, like, eat the whole thing in front of a historian. In front of a Titanic.
With a white glove.
Yes.
I want to preserve
or
this.
Or you have a dinner party with all your rich friends and you like divide it into small, tiny, tiny pieces and you have it served throughout the night.
Smuckers.
Yeah.
Insult to injury.
Yeah.
You're like Hannibal Lecter. fed you a poison cracker.
Yes.
Seriously, though, how did the cracker survive? Like, why is it not moldy?
How'd the cracker not get cracked?
Who said it was moldy?
I don't know.
So he bought a moldy cracker?
What?
Did he buy a moldy cracker?
Is there a picture of this?
Right?
Yeah, there is a picture of it.
Somewhere.
I saw the picture of it, and it looks like a cracker you'd take right out of the box.
That's crazy. I don't get it.
Saltine.
Yeah.
So this cracker doesn't have any, like, papers.
Yeah.
Some Greek asshole spent $30,000 on a saltine.
Yeah.
This should be a movie where, like, someone stole the real cracker and replaced it with a Ritz.
It should be another...
The Da Vinci Code 2. The Cracker Code.
National Treasure 5. There's a treasure map on the back of the cracker.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Okay.
Let's move along.
Next.
Well, I'm going to skip that one. Let's see. Adele revealed she has written a full album.
Oh, I
should
have skipped this one.
I didn't even read about what it was. Full album about being a new mom, but scrapped it because she said it was boring.
Adele
That's
did?
That's mean.
But all of Adele's music is boring. So. Sorry.
I like her music. I like it. I like her voice.
What's your favorite Adele song?
I kind of like it, too.
I thought her vocal cords were damaged and she wasn't able to sing anymore.
Maybe that's the real reason.
My favorite Adele song, Chasing Pavements. That's like the first song I ever heard, I think. Back when she was like on the VH1 You Ought to Know artist.
Who watches VH1?
Well, okay, this was like years ago. This was like 2007 or something like that.
That was still around in 2007?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Pop-up video.
And I don't know who else. The script was also on like the You Ought to Know artist and The Fray, and I don't know who else. People don't know this. Because I guess people didn't watch it.
Interesting. So that's how you found out about Adele. And are you bummed that she's going to scrap this whole album?
I mean, she can do whatever she wants. It's her creative it's like her art, not mine, so I don't have an opinion about it, you know?
Go ahead, sing along. You know the words.
No, I'm good.
You know the words, do it.
Yeah, I do, but I'm not
I made up my mind. And then I made up my mind again and again. I kept making up my mind.
You are a pessimist.
And my mind kept getting made up, and it just kept getting made up again.
Spot on, it wasn't she.
Yeah. My mind, and then I decided
I would eat. He's ruining our show.
I would eat that cracker from the Titanic because I made up my mind.
Yes, thank you. Stephanie said it well. Okay. Next.
Even
if that cracker. I made up my mind.
I'm gonna walk away. I'm walking away.
Jason,
you don't like the song?
He leaned back in his chair. It's just almost like walking away.
I wanted to make sure he saw I was serious.
Yeah. I think he got the message.
You're welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Is that candy or ecstasy? Parents across the country
made up my mind. Just can't go.
Let's walk away, Chris.
May have been spooked by warnings spread through social media saying ecstasy tablets could be mistaken for brightly colored Halloween candy.
Oh, give me a break.
Police in Jackson, Mississippi posted a warning on Facebook that went viral. It said, if your kids get these for Halloween candy, they are not candy. They are the new shapes of ecstasy and can kill kids through overdoses.
Yeah, give me a break.
The photo showed ecstasy tablets shaped like dominoes, skulls, and Superman's shield and urged parents, when in doubt, throw it out. Police said taking the drug that looks like candy could be a dangerous mistake, saying they'd be in the emergency room without a doubt. The ecstasy, among other things, it causes you to grind your teeth and you hallucinate. But according to the myth-busting website Snopes.com, these drugs have been around for years in the same shapes and colors, and there is no evidence anyone has ever slipped them
to a child. This is a new story every Halloween. Watch out for
drugs.
Yeah,
why would you even eat candy that's not wrapped? That's
right?
My thing.
Yeah, that too. It's so stupid. Every Halloween, there's drugs. People are giving out drugs, everybody.
Hey,
so watch out.
They are.
So I think they're just trying to scare people. But yeah, exactly right. So you're going to give your kids unwrapped candy? Give me a break.
And is someone actually going to give out something that costs more than a fun size candy?
I mean, yeah, how effed up do you have to be if you're going to spend that much money? This doesn't happen.
Yeah, people wouldn't take their own ecstasy.
Right. If you're going to spend money to buy drugs, you're going to use the drugs on yourself, not
you're not
waste
give
on
them
a
out
toddler.
To kids.
Yeah, who likes kids
That's
enough
a waste.
To give them awesome drugs?
I know. They're not even going to appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I could see something like around here with edibles, you know, because they're packaged. But still, it goes to the point, why would you hand something out that costs you
it's just $20.
A lot more money?
It's not economical.
Right.
I mean, how
it's
much
not
is
economical
like an,
besides
isn't
not
like
paying
an
money.
Edible, like, $10 or more, something like that.
Yeah.
You could buy like a bag of like Hershey's Kisses or some shit like that.
Maybe you just give it to the one cool kid.
Like, you look cool.
Yeah.
Here's
Let's look at
you. We should hang out, bro.
Thank me later.
Mm-hmm. You crush it on Call of Duty. There you go.
Dig at that rat tail, kid. A new survey from coldease.com shows that 80% of Americans admit that sometimes they don't think their coworkers are telling the truth when they call in sick, and 7% think coworkers are always lying. The biggest red flags, when it's a Friday or Monday or the coworkers seem fine the day before, not to mention the old they don't sound sick on the phone test.
Well, this is always my fear of calling into work sick is like I don't feel like anybody's going to believe me. Even if I am sick, I'm like, oh, shit, they're never going to believe me.
Really? That crosses your mind?
It does cross
Then you're
my
not
mind.
Sick enough to call in.
No, even when I am, like, so sick, I have the flu, I'm like, fevering.
Then
and,
why
like,
would you care?
Do not even go into work if you're sick. Like, if you actually are sick, like, who cares?
I don't.
If you are sick, then, like, that shouldn't matter. You're like, whatever, I know I'm sick. So
I know, but it still goes through my head, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, everybody's going to think I'm faking.
Well, at least you're not getting them sick.
Well, if they think I'm faking, maybe I should be getting them sick. So they know I'm not faking. So maybe I should go to work sick so they know I wasn't faking. according to this study.
You know what I do?
What?
I go in sick for like an hour and just show them that I'm sick, and then I just go home.
So you spread the virus and leave?
Right. So they can all fucking suffer.
Go vomit.
They're like, go home already. Go home.
Go in.
That happened to me once.
Go vomit on the counter and then
bye. Sorry, I'm too sick to clean that. Bye.
There was one time where I had to go in, like there was no option, and I like wore a mask and wore gloves because I was like so sick and like fever, like awful.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to
consider it.
I didn't want to spread it, but I was
can't get
awful.
Your workforce all fucked.
Awful.
And you helped customers and everything.
No, I stayed away from customers, but I like handled paperwork and, you know, pen or something, you know, whatever.
Just touched all the pens.
Everything.
That, he was wearing gloves.
I wore gloves. I had a mask. Yeah, but.
Yuck.
I'm a team player.
That's gross.
Gross. You know what? So am I. But I think it's like after a certain amount of time, you're not contagious anymore if you're taking medication. So you're good. You're sick.
Are you a doctor?
No. But I know a lot of stuff. I want to be a pharmacist. So like.
Oh, so you've read WebMD a little bit?
No, I'm a microbiology major, so I know a lot about.
No, you've read WebMD a couple times.
Don't belittle her, Eddie.
Well, you're going to be a microbiologist.
I don't think that information's up on WebMD, is it? That's just stuff that you learn. Like
that's cool.
About bacteria.
You're going to be a microbiologist, though. I think you're too smart for this show. What are you doing?
No, I love this show. It's great. It's funny.
See, we're highbrow.
She's
comedy.
Slumming it.
Microbiologists all over the world listen to this show.
She's slumming it with us right now. That should be our tag.
Slum it with us.
Slum it with
us. They're writing reports on social diseases.
Any final stories, Chris? Maybe one more?
All right, sure.
If you have a good one, if not.
Something not lame.
Yeah, thank you. That's usually
I like the hot dog one. Go
for
it.
You know, actually, the last three are all pretty decent.
Well,
we don't have time for all three.
Just let me fucking do it.
No, we can't do all three.
We did this last week.
Here
you
we
can't do it all.
A 24-year-old woman was found dead at a Nevada...
Keep going. Just keep going. Stop pausing.
...spa after she had spent at least 10 hours inside a cryo chamber, which is a machine designed to expose users to temperatures as low as negative 240 degrees.
Oh,
nice to meet you.
A website tells homebuyers if their new house could be haunted. I had to get to that since that was the theme of the show. And then since, by Jason's request.
No,
there's
stop.
Been an analysis
stop. 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 Stop.
Hot dogs
stop.
And sausage price.
No. Please. If you're going to do. Let's just do one story and talk about it. Don't rush it.
From various brands.
What are you
on a molecular
doing?
Level, ingredient by ingredient.
It's a
found
segment.
Human DNA in 2% of the samples.
Freeze well. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
That's awful. Someone died.
Yeah.
Stay cool.
How did they even get into the chamber?
It's a spa
so
thing.
Though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
Well, she fell asleep in there or something, right?
Why was she even in there?
How could you fall asleep in something that cold?
She worked there.
Consciousness, I'm sure.
So these cryogenic chambers, people go in there because they have pain, they have joint pain or whatever, and you're supposed to go in for like 3 minutes at a time or 2 minutes at a time. I think she worked there or something, and she went in by herself. You're not supposed to do that.
It's fucking crazy.
You're
they
supposed to
have that shit anyway.
And she ended up just dying. Like, her coworkers found her frozen in the cryogenic chamber the next day.
That shouldn't even be a treatment. At least I don't think so.
Well, they
like,
say it
dangerous.
Works if it's done under the prop. So she didn't do it properly because, she's an employee, so she thought she was above the rules. I can do it real quick on my own.
So she couldn't get thawed out and, like, come back, like Demolition Man?
No. That'd be cool, though.
Ice.
Show some mercy.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Thank you, Eddie. I'm sorry I rushed into the other ones.
Yeah, screw the other ones with those Mr. Freeze puns. Come on.
I think someone died. And you're laughing at it.
You know, this one's permissible.
We turned...
Someone died.
Who?
We don't...
The lady.
A woman.
Oh.
A woman.
I thought Chris wrote the news himself. I thought this is nonfiction.
Ugh. Can't
Wait,
believe we got this low.
Yeah, the show's over. Sorry, Stephanie.
That sucks. I missed like half of it.
Oh, sorry. Well, you can get it on the podcast. Everybody else can too. It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris On iTunes, search EJC Show. That's EJC Show on iTunes, or go to EJCShow.com, and you can subscribe there. Hopefully you've done that by now, Stephanie, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, everybody can catch up there. Stephanie, it was a pleasure having you on the show. You should definitely do this again.
Definitely.
You are perfect.
I will try and make more time.
Okay, cool. You're perfect with the news, and we could use you on the show anytime. So thanks. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.